The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the 34th edition of the Coach's Corner Roundtable on the Hoop Heads Podcast. Each episode of the Coach's Corner Roundtable will feature our all-star lineup of guests answering a single basketball question. A new Coach's Corner Roundtable will drop around the 15th of each month. October's Roundtable question is, if you were named the Czar of Basketball, what is one change you would make immediately to improve the game? Our coaching lineup this month includes Eric Bueller from Chatfield High School, Chris Delisio from Olmsted Falls High School, Bobby Jordan from Wagner College, Liz Kay from Wakona High School, Aaron Meyer from 19-9 Vintage Basketball Apparel, Matthew Radebard, the author of Lead Like a Pro, Don Showalter from USA Basketball, John Schulman from the University of Alabama Huntsville, Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential, and John Wilkham, author of The Walk-On Warrior. Please enjoy this roundtable episode of the Hoop Heads Podcast. And once you're finished listening, please give the show a 5-star rating and review after you subscribe on your favorite podcast app. If you're a basketball coach at any level, please check out our Hoop Heads Coaching Mentorship Program. You'll get matched with one of our experienced head coaches and develop a relationship that will take your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset to another level. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Hoop Heads Pod for the latest updates on episodes, guests, and events from the Hoop Heads Pod. Hey Hoop Heads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoop Heads Podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoop Heads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Coach Pascal Meurs from Belgium, and you're listening to the Hoop Heads Podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Let's hear from our coaches about one change they would make immediately to improve the game if they were named the Czar of Basketball. Eric Bueller, Chatfield Senior High School, Littleton, Colorado.
Hey, what's going on, Hoop Heads? This is Eric Bueller at Chatfield Senior High, and this month we were asked, if we were the Czar of Basketball, what's one thing that we would change about the game? And I think there's so many awesome things about this game that we can all agree on. Being a high school coach in Colorado in the U.S., I would change that we change high school rules to the international rules, and we play with the shot clock, and we change the goaltending rules and all those awesome things that we see in international play. That's what I would change. And thanks for having me again. Everyone out there, have a good week. Bye.
Chris Delisio, Olmsted Falls High School, Olmsted Falls, Ohio.
Hey, Hoop Heads. Chris Delisio at Olmsted Falls. Tough to really come up with a change to the game. But I think that when you think about improving the game, I think one of the things I'd love to see is more collaboration between the coaches and the officials and in districts and communities and things like that. I think that, you know, the separation of, you know, looking at the game from the coach to the official perspective is a gap that we could probably bridge if we would get together more and talk about the game and see both sides' perspectives, and coaches could hear what officials want from coaches and vice versa. And I think that dialogue and some way to maybe get associations together and to try to communicate, whether it's some sort of conference or some sort of, you know, some sort of clinic where we could get together, I think would really be beneficial for both sides and get us a little bit more on the same page, as, you know, it's tough for both sides when coaching or refereeing basketball games.
Bobby Jordan, Wagner College, Staten Island, New York.
One change that I would make to immediately improve the game would be to institute the shot clock throughout high school basketball in every state. I think this has been a hot topic the past couple of years, but I just think it's necessary. Not only does it prepare kids to move on to the next level where there is a shot clock at every level, but also just helps out coaches, helps out the players just play the game the way it's supposed to be played. It eliminates the stall ball games that we see at times in high school basketball or even AAU basketball. And I think it would just teach kids the right way to play.
Liz Kay from Wakona High School in Dalton, Massachusetts.
Hi, everyone. Liz Kay from Wakona Regional High School in Dalton, Massachusetts, and I'm excited to answer this month's roundtable question on a change I would immediately make to improve the game of basketball. As a high school coach, for me, I guess it would be two things. The first would be that kids are exposed to playing man-to-man defense at the youth level a lot earlier and a lot more often. I think it should be a requirement in the sense that too often we see people trying to win travel league games playing a 2-3 zone, sagging, or, you know, pressing full court with trapping when they know another team doesn't have a ball handler, but never really understand and learn the foundational principles of rotations, on-ball defense, proper closeouts, etc. So that would be the first change that I would make, as I really believe that it would improve the ability of kids to play defense before they get to see me. The second thing I would change would be that I think it would be great if everybody had a shot clock in high school basketball. I think it, especially if they want to play at the next level. One thing I've learned from going from a state that did not have a shot clock to one that does is that coaches, you have the ability now to, you know, to plan according to number of possessions left in the game rather than planning by score, and learning the proper way to run a delay offense, when to pressure on defense, and just overall, I think it would really increase the IQ of players on the floor as they go throughout their high school career and beyond. Hope this is helpful. Hope that everybody's doing well, and happy October. Thanks.
Aaron Meyer from 19-9 Vintage Basketball Apparel.
Aaron Meyer, 19-9. What would I do if I was the czar of basketball? I think this one's pretty easy. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I would say that anything that stops the flow of the game is what I would take out. If I'm being specific, it'd be replay right now. There's nothing that ruins the end of games than watching three referees at a monitor checking whether the ball went off someone's hand. Just basketball is about a celebration of flow and athleticism. And watching people watch a monitor is the antithesis of that. So there are lots of other things like backcourt fouls that stop a fast break. But if I had to pick one thing to start off with, it'd be replay.
Matthew Radebard, author of Lead Like a Pro.
Hi, everyone. This is Matthew Radebard, former Division I men's college basketball coach, and excited to be here as a part of the Hoopheads roundtable conversation. Also, thank you to Hoopheads for allowing me to be the czar of basketball here for a minute and let everybody know the change that I would make immediately to improve the game, as soon as I got this question, my mind went in one direction immediately, and that was that we need to add a four-point line. Couple caveats to that. I would only add the four-point line in the last 2 minutes of each half. And also I would make the 4-point line 10 feet back from whatever the distance was at that level. I think this would do a couple of things for the game. I think it would help to open up the court at the end of games and at the end of halves, just to allow for just more creativity, more flow. I also think it'll allow defenses to be more creative. They'll have to pick up higher. Defenses will have to kind of design schemes, kind of some unique coaching decisions can be made in these last 2 minutes of both halves. Not only will it also add to the excitement, I think it adds to the strategy of the game. It allows for more opportunities for comebacks. In the last 2 minutes, you're kind of, that idea of never being out of it is really amplified even more once there's a 4-point shot. And I also think it plays into the growth of the game and where we are with on the men's and women's side, which the depth of which players are shooting from now, but I think it does it in a controlled way so that we don't have it for the entire length of the game, and that just becomes the new focus is shooting these deep 4-point shots. I think it becomes much more structured and allows for coaches to help integrate it into the game in a more strategic way. So thanks for having me as part of the roundtable discussion, and let the conversation around the 4-point shot begin.
Are you tired of slipping and sliding on the court and sticky sheets just aren't giving you grip? Grip Spritz solves this problem without having to lick your hand to clean your shoes. Grip Spritz is used by countless AAU, high school and college programs, semi-pro teams, as well as NCAA athletes and G League players. Unlike other products, Grip Spritz has solutions for individual players, not just entire teams. We've used Grip Spritz at our Head Start basketball camps and players love it. To keep you and your team from slipping and sliding, visit gripspritz.net to learn more. Don Showalter, USA Basketball.
Hi, Don Showalter here with USA Basketball. If I was named the czar of basketball, one thing I would change to make the game much better immediately would be to adopt FIBA rules at all levels for all basketball played in the United States and all over the world. The FIBA rules certainly make the game much, much better for the players, develop skills better, and also it lets coaches really have a say in the ability to coach players and teams at a high level when you have FIBA rules. I think the other thing I would do if I was czar of basketball and one thing to put in besides the FIBA rules would be to have every coach be licensed in basketball in some way and form, which would take care of coaches just coming in off the street and saying they are a coach and be able to coach without any experience, knowledge, or basically being accountable to anybody. Thank you.
John Shulman, University of Alabama, Huntsville, and the 720 Sports Group.
Yes, this is John Shulman, head coach at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. And the question this time is, if you were the czar of basketball, what would you change immediately? And I'm going to take a different route to this, as I don't think I'd change anything. The game is always changing, and you've got to stay ahead of it. And I love that part of it. 3-point line's moving back this year for us on the Division II level. It's a pretty deep three, but I think it makes you think how you going to play defensively, how you going to play offensively. Is it worth be shooting 24-footers, or should you go back inside? Can you guard the entire court now, because the court now is more spread for us? I think the game is always changing. Would I change the shot clock? No, it's just it evolves. Would I change the lane? No, but if it changes, we'll adjust. And so I don't. The only thing I don't like about the game, I think there's probably too much talking, trying to belittle your opponent. Especially as I'm watching AAU, you just make a shot, move on back down the floor, go dunk it on someone's head, and don't make a commotion out of it. Just get on back down the floor. But that, that's the part, the social media part of it, and breaking, I never understood breaking a guy's ankles and making him fall and missing a shot. That doesn't do a whole lot for me. Just get up and go play. But I'm also old school with that. So that would be the only part I would, if I could change. But, that's kind of part of it. The teams that want to talk, and the teams that want to play. And teams that want to play zone get to play zone. And if you believe in it and if it's very sound, there's 1,000 ways to defend, 1,000 ways to score the ball. They're all right if you truly believe in it. And none of them are wrong. And it's just kind of whatever you believe. So if I was the czar of basketball for a day, what would I change? I don't think I'd change anything. I think it's a beautiful game and a wonderful game. And someone asked me the other day, how are you going to guard penetration? How are you going to guard penetration from the top? And you got a guy in a ball side corner. You can't help off the ball side corner. Why not? Why can't you? Some people do. Most don't. I don't mind it. So, what we try to do is no free throws, no second shots, and no layups. So is that bad? Well, most people, a lot of people want to take away the three-point line right now. So that's what makes it interesting and fun is the kind of the different things of basketball. You can do it different ways, and no one does it the same. So I know this doesn't help. I know I didn't answer the question correctly, but boy, what a great game, and I wouldn't change any part of it.
Joe Stasizian, Unleashed Potential, Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Joe Stasizian, Unleashed Potential. This month's question is, if I was czar of basketball, what is the one change that I would make to improve the game here in the United States? That is a loaded question. The first thing I would say is one change I would make is that we should follow the FIBA rules in the United States. We're the only country probably in the whole world that doesn't play by the FIBA rules. So there's a lot that goes into that. I'll try and focus on, one major thing in terms of youth basketball, starting at the grassroots level, the AAU and grassroots level. The first thing I would say is Euro players tend to be way more skillful than youth players in the United States. So first of all, I think we got to really get back to dedicating ourselves to teaching the fundamentals in the youth, where it's not about winning all the time, but it's more about learning how to play the game. For instance, in youth basketball, a lot of times coaches will put the biggest player in the post. The biggest kid will play in the post. I think we have to get away from that and concentrate on more on making kids basketball players rather than locking them into positions, because just because they're the biggest kid in the youth game, in early development, does not mean that they will be the biggest kid later on. So I think we got to focus more on making them basketball players rather than teaching them how to play a position. Teach them how to play all around basketball. The other thing that I really think that goes along with this is in the youth basketball, not allowing players or teams to play zone defense. I know in other countries like Canada, for instance, that they have what they call zone monitors that will go around to youth basketball games, and they will stop a game if they see a coach playing a zone defense in a youth game. So I really like that idea, and I think that will go a long way for us in grassroots basketball by not allowing them to play zone defense. The other big part of this is also having that, over in Europe or in FIBA, they have, most countries have a coaching certification to coach at any age, coach any player of any age. Now, here in the United States, I think we're making a great start by having a USA basketball license. I'd like to see that taken a little bit further at some point. and have an actual coaching certification where coaches have to have continuous coach development, take courses in continuous coach development. Because a lot of times coaches are in it for the wrong reasons. They're not trained. They're all, the only thing they care about is winning. So I think a coaching certification will go a long way here also in the United States to have every coach trained and certified by, like, say, USA Basketball, something like that in that regard. Because we need more structure in our game, especially at the grassroots level. And I think certification would help to do that. And also be able to teach fundamentals of the game and teach team basketball. Because, you know, in the United States, a lot of times we get more carried away with, you know, playing games, playing 80 or 100 games a summer rather than working on our skills. I think it should be reversed. I think it should be at least 70% skills versus 30% gameplay. So I think that goes along with the whole idea of really evolving the grassroots game and the way that we that we coach it and that we teach it here in the United States. And probably the last biggest thing I would say, there's so many different issues, there's so many different things you could tie into this, but the last biggest thing with playing the FIBA rules is we're probably one or if not the only country in the United States that still does not have a shot clock for high school in youth basketball. You know, it really makes no sense at all that, you know, we go to college and we have a shot clock. We go to the NBA or WNBA, we have a shot clock. We play internationally, you know, in the FIBA Americas championships and the different world championships, and they have a shot clock. But here in the United States, we still do not have, for the most part, the majority of the country does not have a shot clock, which is, I think, is a really, really big issue today that kids need to learn how to be able to play with a shot clock. Because everywhere else they play beyond youth basketball, they have to play with a shot clock, either nationally or internationally. There are just some ideas, I think, you know, that we could improve the game, especially the grassroots game here in the United States. Thank you.
John Wilkham, author of Walk On Warrior.
Hey, everybody. This is John Wilkham, former Marquette basketball player, Milwaukee Bucks employee, and author of the book Walk On Warrior, and just overall basketball enthusiast. Excited to answer this month's roundtable question about if I was a czar of basketball, what would I change? I think the number one thing that sticks out to me is just the inconsistency of rules across every level of the game. Watching the NBA versus a college game versus a high school game and just how it's officiated, it just gets on my nerves. You know, I think that there should be a standard of basketball in terms of what the rules are, and especially as so many young kids, you know, idolize and watch NBA players. You know, the way that they play oftentimes, you can't do certain things that you watch an NBA game, in a high school game, for example. And so, you know, we've talked about traveling and some of those things for years. I'm talking about more just the way that you can play defense and just how the game is officiated. And obviously the NBA is trying to, you know, create excitement by, because they want scoring, you know, they want offense, they want statistics, that grabs headlines. And it's what everybody wants to see. But I do think, in a lot of ways it's bad for the game, just because there is so much inconsistency. And then, at the same time, as a coach, it just really limits what you can do. You know, I laugh because there was a stat that said that, you know, the first year of NBA coaches' challenges, 44% of the calls were overturned after video review. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, if, you know, several assistant coaches are watching, you know, the Jumbotron replay of a play, and potentially other people even from a booth, and only 44% of the time what those coaches see, the referees agree with. It just shows you how gray, you know, the rules are. You know, if you challenge a call and you have consensus amongst your coaching staff that, you know, something was a foul or it wasn't a foul, or there's clear, you know, evidence to throw that challenge out there, you'd think that number would be, you know, probably over 90%. So I think that's crazy. I think it'd be good if there was more rule consistency. And I think it'd be more fun because then, you know, whether you're in high school and you're watching something you think is cool. The other thing from a coaching perspective is just what you can do, especially defensively as a coach. You know, watching 82 games in the NBA of you know, 100% man-to-man defense, it looks like the same thing over and over again. So, you know, I would love to, you know, see more full court trapping defense, you know, different types of zones utilized, even some of these, you know, junk defenders or certain strategies on specific players. I get that it's 82 games. And you're not going to probably do that often just from an energy conservation standpoint, but just the ability to change some things and coach the game with a full toolbox, I think would be really cool.
Thanks for checking out this month's Hoopheads Podcast Roundtable. We'll be back next month with another question for our all-star lineup of coaches.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.